About 7 months ago, Jodie and I had a baby, third one. And I always find the experience of having a baby a rather bizarre one. Because if you watch the TV, and if you kind of get the messages from everyone, there are certain ways you are meant to feel when you have a baby. And they're pretty obvious, aren't they? I mean, it's a wonderful experience. The joy of life coming into the world. And when you see your child for the first time, emotion is meant to well up inside you. And it, as all footballers say, is equally the greatest day of your life with the grand final that you just won. It's a special time. And yet, let me tell you, we've had a baby three times. We wouldn't rank those 3 days as top three of our lives. They were kind of miserable. We didn't get much sleep. Jodie was in a lot of pain. She'll tell you about that. And when the baby's finally born, you kind of think, we kind of thought, ugh, that was a lot of hard work, and now there's this thing here which is just screaming, and got blood all over it. Now, I tell you that story for one simple reason. Sometimes we have great expectations about the way someone is meant to feel. And Jodie and I would both tell you, of course, having a child is a magical experience. It didn't really feel that way at the time. It felt very different. It was hard and scary and unpleasant. And I mean wonderful, magical, and it was all good. I suspect, and maybe I'm drawing a long bow here, that when we think about death, some of the same things might be going on. I want us to think today about our own deaths. And as we think about that, we should, of course, acknowledge a couple of things. I want us to be self-reflective and think about how we might feel. And yet at the very same time, this is one of those things where you don't really know how you're going to feel, do you? We've not had that experience before. Some people have gone close, thought they were going to die, and that might reveal something about the way they might feel. And yet, we simply don't know. But as with all experiences in life, including having a baby, sometimes it's quite worth thinking about things before that day arrives. Sometimes it's worth being prepared and acknowledging the different ways we might respond. For some of us, we'll die without even realising it. Something sudden might happen, your heart stops beating, and that's the end of it. We talked last week about what happens next. If your faith is in the Lord Jesus, if your sins are forgiven, you are safe and secure. He will welcome you. He will restore your body. There will be no more crying or tears or pain. It is good. And yet, even knowing all of that, for those of us that get the chance to think about it a bit more, maybe because we're getting on a little bit and the odds are starting to not be in our favour of being here in 50 years' time, maybe through a doctor's diagnosis. There are lots of different reasons that you might need to confront this reality. How are you meant to feel when you realise that you're going to die? Well, in our New Testament reading, we read of the death of Stephen. And when I think about dying, I think that'd be the way to go. To be able to open your eyes that final time as you look around, to look up, and what did Stephen see? He saw God sitting on his throne. He saw Jesus next to him. And heaven opened up. It's kind of a glorious story. Now, I acknowledge at the same time, he's being stoned to death. That doesn't sound like much fun. That's pretty hideous. The reality of what's going on in an earthly sense is awful. And yet, in this profound, amazing way, Stephen is the bravest person I've ever seen. He says, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Lord, receive my spirit. His faith is 100% intact and secure. It is a glorious death. I suspect most of us won't die that death. I suspect most of us won't see heaven open up before we close our eyes the last time. Perhaps God's got a different plan for you. That doesn't seem to be the way most of us go. Most of us seem to go in a slightly more low-key way. Perhaps with loved ones around, perhaps in a hospital, Who knows exactly where it'll be, but it probably won't be after delivering one of the great gospel presentations in the history of the world, and your death might not have such significance that it is recorded for people to read for thousands of years to come. As I read this account of Stephen's death, I think, what about the rest of us? What do we do? I want to suggest three different ways you might feel about your own death, and I'm going to take a couple of scriptures for each of them and have a think about them. The first one is this. You might be excited about your death. You might be excited about what comes next, and you might look forward to it. Now, hold on for a second. I see a few puzzle looks there, and I see a few people thinking, well, that might be a stretch, because what I might be saying is, as you read the Bible, as you think about Revelation 21, no more crying, or tears, or pain, heaven came down like the new Jerusalem, a bride beautifully dressed for a husband. That is a picture of excitement. What comes next is better than what's going on now, and it is worth looking forward to. We remember Paul speaking about his death. He says, this is really hard. I wish I could die because I want to go and be with Jesus. He has this tangible faith that makes him truly believe that dying would be better for him. And then he says, but I've got a lot of stuff to do and I want to keep doing Jesus' work. So actually, that's probably better if I stick around here. Imagine your faith is so strong that you think, that's good, that's good. Oh, I'm really torn. Do I want to be dead or alive? There is a real sense in which you should be excited about the day you die. You should be excited about that moment when you're going to open your eyes on the other side. The Lord Jesus will be there to keep you safe. He'll look after you. He'll give you a new body that is good to go. For all eternity, with all the bits and pieces restored to the way they're meant to be, you should be excited. And over in the scriptures, we hear about that. There's also a real sense in which, at the stage you're at when you die, you might be relieved. Your body might be really wearing out. Things might be really hard for you. And there seems to be a sense in which, and we talked about this last week, the Bible often talks about death for the believer, for he who trusts in the Lord, as simply falling asleep. You see, we've got that picture of Stephen's kind of pretty gruesome death, of the amazing thing that awaited him, and then he fell asleep. He didn't need to worry about that anymore. There might be a real sense that as your death approaches, there will be a sense of peace, and a sense of being relieved. Don't hear me wrong, I'm not claiming to be a huge expert on the final hours of people's life, but I have sat with a few people in the final hours of their life, and I've sat with believers who have said, loud and clear, it's fine, I'm okay with this. I've come to terms with it, I'm actually looking forward to it. I've done what I need to do, I am at peace, and I'm not scared. And I pray that death is like that for you, that your faith is strong, that you know the Lord well, and that you look forward to what he has in store for you. I won't tell this story in the long format, but the short format. When I was sick many years ago in hospital, I was surprised. People kept saying to me, it must be hard to trust the Lord when you're in such pain and suffering. And my experience at that point was, actually, no. It's been easier to trust him now than at any other point in my life. I think partly that was God's generosity to me. He gave me a sense of his presence, and that was the reality for me. I know that's not everyone's experience. And I also know that I've sat with other people as they've been in their last hours who have been scared, who have not had a sense of peace, but have been really worried. And that's the next one I want to talk about. What do you do about that? Are Christians allowed to be scared of dying? Or does that just show that you're not a very good Christian? Or perhaps that your faith is a little bit wobbly? Are Christians allowed to be scared before they die? Are you allowed to be worried about what comes next? I think it's a complicated answer. In one sense, of course it'd be nice if we all just felt this great sense of peace. Everything was just smooth. And we said, Lord, receive my spirit. Let's get to heaven. Game on. Here's the problem. Sometimes you're in quite a lot of pain near the end. Not always. They've got amazing drugs these days that can really help you out. But sometimes it's pretty unpleasant. Sometimes you'll be tired and stressed. There'll be lots of different factors there. But more than that, sometimes we human beings don't feel the things we're meant to feel. Sometimes our hearts and our minds don't necessarily follow on from one another. Now, let me say, there's a few different reasons why you might be scared before you die. And there's two quite different ones. Now, one, like we talked about last week, is that you are entering into something that is completely unknown to you. It's natural to be worried about what comes next. If you told me this morning that you had bought me a ticket on the world's largest roller coaster for this afternoon, that it goes faster than any other roller coaster, it's higher than any other roller coaster, I would say, thank you, this is good. I'm excited about this. And I'd be a little scared too. In a good way. Because sometimes things are scary because they're bigger than us. Because they remind us how small we are. You see, I don't think you should think about going to heaven as though you'll wander through the door, give God a high five and say, where am I sitting? Come on. There should be a sense of awe. That you're going to meet the creator of the universe. He's invited you to his own table. And don't get me wrong. He's adopted you into his family. You're one of his children. He said you can call him Father. But that's miraculous and wonderful. And yet, you're going to meet the creator of the universe. If that makes you a little nervous, good. Let that add to the excitement. But there's another type of fear, isn't there? The other type of fear is different. The other type of fear is doubts in your mind and temptations. What if we were wrong? What if it was all made up and my atheist friend was right and there's nothing there? What if I don't get forgiven? What if those temptations lead to fears which, to be honest, are not healthy, are not good for you. And this is important. What does the Bible say about people who are tempted? What does the Bible say about people who fail to trust? Well, pretty much over and over it says, well, that's everyone. That's all of us. I find Psalm 23 a fascinating psalm, and I've done a few funerals, and I've preached Psalm 23 quite a few times, and I love that psalm. And the big theme seems to be, I will not fear. David will not be scared, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That phrase, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, does that sound like a phrase that someone uses when they're not scared? Because I really get the sense from David that he is walking through the darkness saying, I don't need to be afraid, I don't need to be afraid, I don't need to be afraid. And when do you do that? When you're a little bit afraid. David reminds himself of the truths of what will ultimately be the gospel. David reminds himself, I know I can trust the Lord. I know you will restore me. I know you will be with me. But I tell you what, this death thing seems very dark and scary. All the forces that are coming against me, that weigh upon me, they're terrifying. You remember the story of Lazarus, Jesus' friend. He dies. And Jesus gets there late. The sisters are very annoyed at Jesus that he didn't get there in time to actually save Lazarus. But we, the reader, know Jesus is going to raise him from the dead. This is not even a big deal at all, is it? But then Jesus does something weird. What does he do? He weeps. He cries. He mourns for Lazarus. And part of me, the logical part of me, wants to say, well, that's so silly, Jesus. You're going to raise him from the dead. Well, why are you crying? Come on, get on with it. Do the surprise. There is something profoundly dark about death. There is something that should be mourned. You see, death happens because of sin. It happens because our world is broken. And so here's what I think we need to remember when we fear and when we doubt. We need to remember that we are small and God is big. And so if you fear death, on that day, you are nervous. What's the right thing to do? Well, like David does in Psalm 23 and in 100 other Psalms, like characters do throughout the Scriptures. When you doubt and when you fear, what do? You turn to the Lord. You pour out your soul to him. Because the wonderful thing about God is when you feel the wrong feeling, when things are not as smooth as they're meant to be, God just says, tell me about it. I'm interested. I want to hear. And that turns our mind to another famous death in the Bible. And this one's a little bit complicated, but I want to think about it anyway. The Lord Jesus dies a rather humiliating death. But because he's the Son of God, because he knows the future, because he knows he's going to rise from the dead, he's not scared. It doesn't even bother him one bit. Well, that's not true at all, is it? That's not how the story goes. The night before he died, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and my best reading of it is he's terrified. He's deeply afraid of dying, so much so that he prays to God, hey, could we not do this? Don't want to die. Now, it's important to acknowledge here, I think Jesus knows that his death is going to be a lot worse than any of ours. That in his death, he is going to wear the judgment for the sins of the world. It's different. And yet, in his humanity, when confronted with death, Jesus is scared. And what does he do? He goes away and prays. He asks his friends to help him and encourage him. And in all of that, there is this tremendous humility. You see, Jesus doesn't stand there and say, I'm about to die, but I am strong. No, it's quite the opposite. Jesus acknowledges that he's about to die, and he says, God, I'm scared. My friends, I need your help. Please sit with me. And I wonder whether we Christians sometimes make the mistake of thinking we need to be incredibly brave and we need to have a glorious death like that of Stephen, rather than remembering that our weakness in body, in mind, in spirit is an opportunity to rely on God's strength. And so as we approach our death, it should be a humbling experience. It should be a reminder to us that on our own, we are nothing. But with the love of God, with his support, with those he has gathered around us, this is an opportunity to say, I trust in God, not in myself. Will you be scared the day you die? I've got no idea. But if you are, you follow in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus, of King David, and of countless others, whose faith was strong, but not perfect. But here's the beautiful thing. Whether you die the glorious death like Stephen, or the humble, humiliated death, or just a kind of normal average, like a Mount Victoria death, the Lord is your shepherd. He is the one that watches over you. And when you get to the other side, he'll be there, ready and waiting to keep you safe. The third thing you might feel, we need to accelerate a little bit. Some people, people's death will come before they think it should. And it might not be just the emotions that you feel about yourself. It might be the sort of emotions that you feel about those who are left behind. You might be pretty disappointed if God decides to take you before your family are ready for it. You might be pretty disappointed if you've got important things that you need to do, and he says, no, your day is coming. What do we do about this? We've all known people who you've had to look up to heaven and say, God, come on, why? This doesn't make any sense. This is crazy. And sadly for this one, I do have a simple answer, but it's not a very satisfying one. Because the Lord knows all the days of your life. A couple of passages which I think are helpful. Psalm 139 speaks of the fact that before you were even formed, God knew all the days of your life. They were ordained by him. That you live because he breathes life into you, and when he chooses, that's when your life stops. And we're told over and over in the Old Testament and New, know what he's doing. Now that doesn't stop us little people looking up and saying, God, come on, this doesn't make sense. I remember Jesus telling the story in Matthew chapter 10 of the sparrows. When people are worried and anxious, he says, well, come on, what about the sparrows? And I often remember he kind of gets to the lilies of the field down the track. But the first thing he says is, not one sparrow falls to the ground without my say-so. I know each and every one of them. Now, if you've got a couple of sparrows in your yard, multiply that around the world, there's a lot of sparrows getting around. God knows each and every one of them, and not one of them falls to the ground without his say-so. And the whole point of the story is, how much more important than sparrows are you? You see, no matter how somebody goes, it is part of God's plan. He knows what he's doing, and he is working for good. Now, this side of heaven, we're not going to get all the answers we want to those questions. It'd be nice if the confusing thing happened and then 3 years later you're able to say, oh, it all makes sense now. It's so simple. That's not the way it works. And yet, if your time comes before it should, the only answer is simple. Again, you pour it out to God. You do look up to him and you say, God, this doesn't make sense to me. Help me understand. But even more importantly, help me trust you, even though I don't understand. Help me trust that the things that I wanted to do, the people that I wanted to look after, help me trust that you will look after them, that you will provide a way for them. Let me sum up. Each and every one of us will die one day unless the Lord comes back first. It's worth spending a little bit of time thinking about it, not just when you're in the pew at a funeral, but when your mind is clear. I hope and pray for each of you that you will trust the Lord until your very last day. But don't be surprised if you face some temptations, if you face some fears. Keep trusting in the Lord. And remember this, after you close your eyes for the last time, and when you open them again, if your faith is in the Lord Jesus, if you put your trust in him, then you have nothing to fear. Heaven will be wonderful. It will be exciting. Bodies restored, relationships restored, and you'll get to meet God, the one who put the stars into place. You'll get to meet Jesus, the one who died on the cross for you, who loves and cares about you. Death is coming to us all, and in many ways, it will be a great day. Let me pray. Now, Father, we want to thank you that you have secured our place in heaven. We thank you that you promised to restore our bodies, to forgive us our sins, and make everything new. Father, we pray for one another this morning. Father, we pray that you would strengthen our faith. Father, we pray that you would give us the courage to be honest with you and with one another about our fears, about our temptations. We thank you that you are the sort of God who loves to hear us, even in our weakness. Father, we pray that as we move toward the last day of our lives, that you would help us to bring you honor and glory through the way we trust you, even when we falter. Amen.
We stand and sing again, Jesus.